Dejarme ir, والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الأطيبين الأطهرين المنتجبين سيما بقية الله في الأراضين.
Nineteen years have passed, and we have gathered in gatherings such as this. The Iranian nation have gathered and these gatherings are a manifestation of the love we have for our great Imam. Most of this nation are young people that have never seen the lifetime of our dear Imam, or were born after His Eminence passed away, or the 10-year period during the auspicious lifetime of the Imam. They were young boys and young girls. But the very same young people who are faithful and luminescent throughout this country have such a great deal of love for the Imam and his name. It is as if they have shared his company. As we hear in the Samat prayer, faith, pure and undying faith,
دوران حیات آن بزرگوار و صحبت آن بزرگوار
without sharing the company of that great man or being alive during his lifetime. This is not exclusive to our nation. In many parts of the world, in Muslim countries also, the same feeling exists with regards to our great Imam. This emanates and relates to two great factors. One has to do with the stature of the Imam himself and the various aspects of his character, an extraordinary character in contemporary time or even times past. And another factor has to do with the greatness of this revolution, the great effort and achievement made by the great Imam, which was made possible through his wisdom, undying will, untiring will, as carried out in this period of time, that is, the organization of the Islamic Revolution and the foundation of the Islamic system of government. The greatness of this revolution relates to the greatness of our eminent Imam. This revolution was a divine miracle. The enemies of Islam and the enemies of the Islamic Ummah for roughly 100 years in this country campaigned against Islam and against the religious leaders. As I said, they campaigned and they made every effort. And also for 50 years, a totally dependent regime in this country sacrificed the interests of the nation for our enemies and foreigners. And the country, as a result, became fully dependent on foreigners. I am talking about the Pahlavi regime. The great and eminent Imam took up the standard of the fight against the oppressors. He started a struggle in this country and achieved a great achievement. The Islamic revolution is different to all other revolutions. It is not a exclusively spiritual revolution or exclusively economic one for that matter, or exclusively political revolution. It is a comprehensive, holistic revolution, quite like Islam itself. As Islam itself has spiritual and divine aspects, at the same time, it deals with the everyday lives of the people. It has a social, a political, an economic aspect to it. And the same can be said for the revolution. This revolution had different dimensions. And as each day passes, this revolution becomes more vibrant, more energetic in this country and throughout the region. And perhaps It is because it is in tune with the various needs of man. The late Imam, with his comments, words, behavior, provided a continued, if you will, sustenance for his people. The hand of the Imam and his direction, in other words, shows us the way and tells us how to navigate the winding roads of our world today. And one of his most enduring legacy would be his will. It is very appropriate for our officials, the people, our young people, the youth, to read and reread the will. Today, on the occasion of this great gathering, and with respect to your awareness and awakened hearts, I would like to read some passages from the will of the Imam. First, the late Imam in his will stresses that this revolution is a divine revolution, and its very pillars are made by the people. In other words, the revolution belongs to the people. This word tells me and you that no person, no section of the society, no strata, if you will, in the society cannot and should not say that they own the revolution, think of themselves as rather the owners, and others as simply renters. If somebody rightfully could say that they are the owners, the most appropriate person to be the owner would have been the Imam himself. The revolution happened and came into existence because of his character. But the Imam always said that he was but serving this cause, and this revolution rightfully belongs to the Almighty. This is present in most passages of the late Imam's will. So the owner of the revolution are the people. There is a duty which bears down on all of us, and that is to preserve this great blessing that has been given to us in trust by the Almighty. The people must make every effort to protect the revolution, to safeguard the revolution. And we need to give due attention to the directions of the revolution, the values, the very foundations of the revolution. This has existed in the past, it is true today, it will remain true in the future. The people who say that times have changed, the world has changed, and we need to change the slogans of the revolution, or they say that the religious dimension of the revolution should be taken away, or the social aspect for that matter, or our efforts to fight oppression, or the aspect which is anti-totalitarian, different ideas on different pretexts can always be debated. Again, to change the slogans and the goals of the revolution. The people must be vigilant. They know, they should know that this revolution is alive because of its slogans. The very basic slogans of this revolution has to do with its Islamic characteristic, remaining true to the basic tenets of religion and religious regulations and teachings, also struggling against hegemony and defense for the oppressed of the world, a very sincere effort to defend them. One of the most striking slogans of this revolution has to do with the revolution belonging to the people. No section of the society, no strata of the society prevails over others. The young people of today, like the youth of the time of the Holy Defense, belong to the people. You cannot say that those who helped to found the revolution or had a share at the time of the struggle before the victory, they are in closer proximity to the revolution. There are people who were not there at the inception of the revolution, but once the Holy Defense came about, so to speak, they put their very lives in their hands and went to the fronts to defend this country. 20-odd years after the end of the Holy Defense, there are young people now in the arena, so to speak, that are very wise, extraordinary, smart. They are motivated. They are divinely motivated. They are working hard in different fields, as I said, to guarantee the vibrancy of this revolution. They are the sons and daughters of the revolution as well. They are the owners of the revolution as well. They are similar to the founding fathers, if you will. And different generations, one after the other, have the same proximity and, dare I say, ownership of the revolution. They all have a share in the revolution, and they have a share in protecting the revolution as well. The young people of today, the contemporary time, the present time, those who will come later, you should know that the way of the revolution requires faith, requires steady steps. Some people have this steadfastness. Others return midway, and this is to their detriment. Those who turn back from the way of the revolution, similar to a person who is fasting in the middle of summer, endures to the very end of the day, 1 hour, 2 hours before dusk, they give up and they break their fast. Again, it's similar, what they do is similar to a person who has refused to fast at all. Once a person breaks his fast at any hour of the day, he did not fast at all. If you are not determined, if you're not steadfast, your relationship with the revolution will break. And That is not proper. We have always had people who have turned away from the revolution and they have turned their back on the revolution. And so our duty is, our young people, people from different walks of life, to be realistic. The important thing here is the revolution. People are not that personalities would be a better word, would not be given importance over the revolution. Also in the will, the late Imam says that this revolution will expand, it will grow, and the hands of the colonialists will be denied, if you will, access to Islamic lands. Today, once you look around you, around the world, you see that this has happened. This expansion, this growth, from the point of view of the Imam, does not come through hatching plots or attacking countries, sending troops, or by engaging in terrorism, quite contrary to what certain other revolutions have done. Rather, it comes through establishing models, models presented by the Islamic system of government. So this model should be established in such a way that once other people look at this model, they are overjoyed and they emulate. Again, through Islamic knowledge, Islamic teachings, and sincere defense of the oppressed people, stratas of Islamic societies, those who have been oppressed by the international arrogance in Islamic lands. This came about, it happened. Today, the nations around the world are looking at the Iranian people. They draw strength from the Iranian people. Today, the anti-arrogant or arrogance slogans of the Iranian people have been taken up around the world. Today, when you visit any Islamic land, regardless of the ruling regime or government, you see that nations, their nations, are very much enamored with your slogans, with the ideals that you have designed, and slogans such as fighting oppression, defending the oppressed, defense of the people of Palestine, hostility to the octopus-like Zionist network come to mind. This tells me about the growth and the expansion of our model. Also, Iran's drive for peaceful nuclear achievements. Again, we stood fast and we asked for our inalienable right. This has been appreciated by the Islamic world and other parts of the world, and a call for peaceful nuclear energy has been taken up by Arab nations as well. The enemies and the friends of the Iranian people all say and admit that the growth that the late Imam envisioned for this revolution has come about. And also Palestine, different nations similar to Iran, their hearts go out to Palestine. And the Israeli regime is a fabricated regime imposed on the region. Of course, governments do not share the same view as of their nations. What has strengthened Israel is this and no other. Israel, the Zionist regime, does not have any power from within. It does not have the ability to stand on its feet. There are two things that help to keep the Zionist regime on its feet. One is the audacious, undying support by the U.S. The other is the refusal by Arab and Islamic governments and states to support the Palestinian people. Unfortunately, many of the governments of Islamic lands today are not fulfilling their duties as they should with regards to Palestine. They do not share the points of view of their nations. If they take the same position as their nations, the situation in the region will completely change. This is the wish of the nations, and this is the development that our great and dear Imam told us about, that it will eventually come about. Another point, a third point, that is very striking in the Imam's will and in those 10 years of his lifetime. Again, it was referred to time and again, and it is important for our young people, obviously. Well, the Islamic revolution helps with the development of the nation, the creativity of the nation, and the drive of the nation. This is completely opposite to the campaigns taken up by our enemies. Our enemies were trying to say that being religious does not correspond to progress. If a nation wants to progress, it has to give up religiosity and it has to fall into the hands, if you will, of the West. It has to become totally Western to progress. Through many decades, they tried to force this on the Iranian people. And again, the late Imam, in his will, stresses that the spirit of the revolutionary movement is forward-looking, it's innovative. And this became instilled in the spirit of the Iranian people. Today, the Iranian people believe in themselves. They are present in different arenas, in political arenas, in, as I said, different arenas. Wherever we enter a theater, an arena, we immediately stand at the very front and Today, when it comes to international respect and dignity, our situation is not comparable to the time before the revolution. This nation has awakened. It is alive now, and that is because of the revolution. The more dynamic you are, the more vibrant you are, this spirit of achievement will become even more pronounced. And the revolution itself was an innovative effort. It was a great innovation. Through the Islamic Revolution, through the establishment of the Islamic system of government, we said no to backwardness and being Western. In those days, people, or nations rather, were either forced to choose between backwardness or being Western. The late Imam said, no, there is a third way. People do not necessarily have to become Western for them to progress, to become developed. So such a way exists now. The young people of Iran, I ask you to have your faith in the Almighty, to come to further believe in this third way. And again, through your faith, you can overcome all obstacles in your way. And one of the reasons for the hostility, the enmity of international arrogance with the Iranian people when it comes to the nuclear issue and similar other issues is this and no other. You see that the Americans are at the forefront and some Europeans following them in their opposition to the Iranian people's access to nuclear energy. They are making every effort. They are leveling threats using big words and unsavory words. Many other nations are not as developed as Iran in this particular front, but they sign nuclear energy contracts with them. What does this mean? This means that if nuclear energy leads to further dependency of a nation, that's fine with them. That's fine for them. What they oppose is for a nation to, in total dependency, with its own skills and talents to secure such know-how. We have reached a stage, again, standing on our own two feet to access such technology. We were not dependent on others when it came to this technology. This nuclear energy, other nations, it becomes a source of dependency. But the Iranian people, it is welling up from within ourselves. And it works totally against dependency. So,
وجود دارد که بسیار مهم است و اون توجه به جنگ سرد و عملیات روانی دشمن است عملیات روانی دشمن دشمن وقتی که در میدان در صحنه عمل نتواند کاری از پیش ببرد دست به جنگ روانی میزند. برای مایوس کردن، برای ناامید کردن، برای خالی کردن دل ملت ها با جنگ روانی، با تهدید سعی میکنن اونها میدان را خالی کنن در مقابلشون. این معناش این است که در میدان عملی قدرت مقاومت در مقابل این ملت را نداشتن. این جنگ روانی
we were not able to stand up to this nation. They used to say that this revolution will only last 2 more months or 2 more years. Today, 30 years have passed. And as each day passes, the Iranian people become more cohesive, more faithful, full of energy. Today, the Cold War is being waged in different shapes and forms. They want to tell the Iranian people, our young people, that without connection, so to speak, with hegemonist powers, you cannot achieve anything. This is a great danger that our late Imam talked about in his will. They refuse to acknowledge our great achievements. We have overcome in the past 30 years huge obstacles. Once you read history books, you rarely come across similar situations and experiences by other revolutions. Usually people and revolutions fail to overcome such obstacles rather, and they give themselves up to their enemies. We have contended with different sanctions and different efforts to sabotage our achievements. We have reached different peaks. We have set our sights on new peaks. We are moving ahead quite energetically. And they want to take this away from us. I tell our young people, our young seminarians, and young people in various industries, in the arts, I tell you that you are in the middle of this road. What you have done so far is to deal with and overcome huge problems, but you have prevailed. The rest of the road, the remainder of this road. Well, the enemy wants to, does not want you to complete the rest of the road, the main part of the road, and for you to reach the peaks. But you can reach the peaks, and you have proven that you can reach the peaks. Today, the Iranian people are standing tall and they face the arrogant powers. To the east of our country, to the west of our country, they have done their very best to surround this country. And through the vigilance of the Iranian people and also our closed ranks, what they have done and they try to do in our western and eastern borders have failed. It has rather contributed to the further strength of the Islamic system. Also, in the will of the Imam, we see some words for the young people again, telling them to be vigilant. Some of the efforts and the plots hatched by those powers directly target the young people. If our young people are to work as the engine of the revolution, to push this country forward, We need for them to remain faithful, to remain energetic, to work hard to push the country forward, to take this spirit, if you will, away from young people, Iranian youth. They try to provide narcotics, to use organized crime to push narcotics, and also decadence. You have to be vigilant, young people. The officials of the Islamic Republic of Iran are waging a very serious war against narcotics. And this is a great jihad waged to secure the interests of the Iranian people. They don't want young Iranians to work in laboratories, in different workplaces, in the factories, out there in the fields. They don't want them to work as energetically as they can. The young person who is imprisoned by these lascivious ideas and mired in decadence, he will not have the will to work and the patience to work and the necessary will and dedication. Today, fighting these organized plots to ensnare the Iranian young by, again, providing narcotics and lascivious activities is very dangerous. First and foremost, the citizens of this country, more specifically, the young people, have to say no, to fight this. You have to be vigilant. The enemy has come to realize that the faithfulness of the Iranian youth, their virtue, piety, is the source of their energy in different fields. So, in different fields, our young people, in different fields, seminarians, all of you need to be vigilant. If a young person becomes weak, the rest of the society is adversely affected, and the officials obviously have to work hard, make every effort to stop this. This is a great jihad. Another point contained in the comments and the will of the Imam has to do with opposition to international bullies. Bullies have always persisted throughout history, but as industry developed, as telecommunications changed and developed, this control, hegemony, has become easier for them. As a result, you see that the Americans have designs on all parts of the world on the pretext that interests are in danger in certain parts of the world. They take action. It is as if their interests outweigh the interests of others. Again, by being bullies, by turning a blind eye and ignoring the position of others, they continue with such actions. If we give up when bullied, the bullies will be only encouraged. If the intellectuals and scholars of different societies give up and are bullied, That will, as I said, only make the bullies more audacious. It will encourage them. There's only one way to deal with a bully, and that is to stand up to him. If a nation wants to be rid of the designs of the Americans and the bullying of the Americans, you have to stand up to them with all that you have and all your might. Today, look at the behavior of the American administration, the president and those around him, the president of the U.S., his team, those around him. Look at what they say and how they say such words. They talk like psychotics. Sometimes they level threats. Sometimes they make accusations, give orders for assassinations, and sometimes ask for help. Once they are at a loss as what to do, and sometimes they attack different nations, and like mad people, they bang themselves against each and every wall. And this is a direct result of the failures of the U.S. in different situations, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, for example. They entered Afghanistan and Iraq by giving promises about respect for human rights and freedom, for example. But what they have done in these years is so bad that no nation ever wants to experience what they have experienced. And these arrogant powers are targeting and looting the national riches and interests of those countries. And of course, they have failed miserably in securing the goals that they had announced or the goals that they had not announced, but harbored nevertheless. This is very clear in the comments of American officials, in the discrepancy of their comments and decisions. This is what bullies do. So what should we do to oppose this? The late Imam tells us that we need to stand up to them. Different organizations in this country talk about their loyalty to the philosophy of Imam. This is auspicious. In some years ago, maybe this was not as pronounced. Some people were in a wilderness. Fortunately, all factions in this country, all organizations in this country talk about their loyalty to the philosophy of the Imam. One of the most striking points contained in the will of the Imam has to be a steadfast opposition to bullies, standing up to bullies. This position, the Iranian people, different organizations, different factions, and the elite who are loyal to the philosophy, ideals, the goals of the Imam, they have to Observe this. The late Imam never gave up his defense of the oppressed of the world because of attacks by bullies. The Imam referred to the issue of Palestine as the main issue before the Islamic Ummah. And in his will, he clearly refers to a call for assistance uttered by Muslim communities, which must be heeded. He also talks about the need to defend the rights of the oppressed Palestinian people or other nations for that matter. This is the philosophy of the Imam. Thankfully, the officials of this country, the people of this country, have followed through with that philosophy, and for 30 years in your opposition and fight against the Americans, you have prevailed and they have failed. Of course, the enemy will not sit still and idle. They will continue with their psychological warfare and make accusations and the like. Today, the accusations made by the Zionists and the American administration is not believed by anyone, welcomed by anyone. Those parties who are guilty of the worst human rights crimes and also attacks on various communities, various peoples, is very clear, and they have a blackened report card. And now they have the audacity to accuse Iran of such matters. This is not true. The Iranian people time and again have announced and said that we do not want to produce an atomic bomb. Everyone knows that. Everyone thinks so. Today, the Americans, when they want to talk about the Iranian program and take, as I said, positions, they cannot come out and say that they oppose the rights of a people. Instead, what they do is to make certain accusations, saying that we are trying to create a bomb. And they know themselves that what they're saying is untrue, because no wise nation today would be interested in securing a nuclear bomb. And again, this is quite contrary to rational thought. And nuclear bombs are not beneficial, and nuclear arms cannot be used. Those people who have nuclear bombs know full well that if they take one wrong step and use a nuclear bomb, this will come back to haunt them. And this is equally true for what they did some time ago. They supported terrorists, and it came back to haunt them. They know that nuclear weapons are useless. They understand this full well. Nevertheless, they accuse the Iranian people. The Iranian people, I will tell you, is not working to make a bomb. It wants to peacefully use nuclear energy in its everyday life. It will follow through with this, and whether our enemies like it or not, we will mightily achieve this. The memory of Imam is reminiscent of the stature of the Iranian people and our international position. We have become a beacon of hope for all Muslim communities. The memory of Imam gives us energy, gives us hope. Such a memory must be kept alive. And also the directions given to us by the late Imam to navigate this winding road, we have to appreciate those. And all officials of this country, our youth, citizens of this country must look on those comments as a roadmap for the road ahead. Again, officials of this country, our military commanders and other high-ranking officials must look on this as a roadmap. The dignity of the Iranian people, the security of the Iranian nation, our growth, development, and our spiritual and ethical well-being is very much dependent on that roadmap. O Lord, I ask you to help the Iranian nation to complete this road. As each day passes, increase the stature and dignity of the Iranian nation. O Lord, provide spiritual blessings for the great spirit of the late Imam, and also shower your blessings again on the spirit of the Imam. O Lord, martyrs who were the scouts of this road, may they share the company of our religious leaders. All those who are in dedicated service to this Islamic revolution and this ideal, bless them with your good graces and assistance. And make the 12th Imam happy with our actions. May we be good soldiers, foot soldiers, for the 12th Imam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.